Dr. Davis, Dr. Stashko, Dr. Marangel, and Dr. Tran?
Yes.
Have anybody else?
Hello.
Hi. Is this Dr. Russell?
I'm here.
Okay, so everybody's here. Good. I guess we should just start by introducing each other. Dr.
Hello, there, everybody.
Okay.
All right.
Well, actually, why doesn't everybody introduce themselves? Why don't you start, Dr. Tran, and then just tell them what you do so everybody is familiar.
This is Dr. Gary Tran. I'm a veterinarian from Louisville, Kentucky. I'm a newcomer to this modality, so I'd be glad to share my experience with my colleagues.
Okay, and Dr. Wastel?
I'm Dr. Wastel. I'm a chiropractor in the Minneapolis area. Do heart rate testing, autonomic response testing, muscle testing. Glad to be here to listen to what everyone has to say.
Okay, Dr. Stashko?
Yes, I'm a chiropractor in Northeast PA. Jeff knows me very well. I do bionutritional testing, HRV, and muscle testing.
Okay, Dr. Davis?
Yeah, hi, guys. I'm Dr. Davis. I'm from Redding, California. I'm a practicing chiropractor and naturopath, and I don't have heart rate variable, but I do have a Vega, and I do apply kinesiology and dark field and early end.
Okay, and then Dr. Marangel.
Hi, guys. Well, I know just about everybody here, and I've been working with Yuri and Constant and the subtle energy formulas for well over 2 years now in the original formulas and doing research and development. And analyzing what kind of concepts we come up with, and pretty exciting stuff. Pretty much we wanted to get together with those of you who are already familiar with the concept and with the technology and have used these clinically and share some of our experience and talk about how we're using the application of subtle energy technology clinically.
So, Jeff, there are five things that we had on this call that we wanted to cover and as a general consensus, and one was dosage for different types of conditions, what is the maximum amount of formulas to be taken in a single day, how to best deal with chronic fatigue syndrome, and how to best describe what vital force formulas are and how they work. And then number 5 was, what do we mean by energetic modulators, dark matter, and what role do they really play? So without any more discussion on my part, why don't I turn it over to you, Jeff, and you take it from here.
Okay, that's a lot of territory. Let's start with, I think, dosage parameters and multiple use, okay, because I'm sure all of us have faced that issue with people. How much is the right dosage for one person or another? You know, Gary, you know, and I'm going to include the veterinary references here for Dr. Tran, because I've used these with my own critters. I have 10 horses and 4 or 5 dogs, a couple of snakes, and we have a funny farm. So at one time or another, most of my animals have been experimental models for whatever kind of situation arises for them. And it's what's interesting is the need for energy. The first premise is that it is not size and weight dependent. It's not like if you're giving a daily nutritional dose or if you're giving a pharmaceutical where, you know, a 200-pound guy needs, you know, more than a 100-pound woman. It really is independent of that whole concept and is much more dependent on that person's physical need for energy, okay? Now, almost all of us that are on the line can access that need by kinesiology, ART testing, EAV testing, whatever method we use. So for us, that's not really a problem, is it? If it is a problem for somebody to say, yeah, it is, what do I do? But everyone here that's on this line can access the body's need by some method or another.
And that's also an effective way to dose them, too.
It is.
Muscle test your EAV, that's how you can get your doses.
Right. And what I've been doing, we've safely used, safety and effectiveness of the subtle energy product is just unlimited. If it lives, if it is a living organism, it does benefit from the organizational energy of subtle energy formulas. We've done experiments with everything from grass to reptiles to mammals to human beings, from pediatrics to extreme geriatrics. And really, I've never observed an adverse effect from the subtle energy influence alone. Never. And that's a concept we want to discuss. You know, a light came on for me the other week. Actually, when we were discussing one of Dr. Tran's successes with, I think it was a Chihuahua, okay? Dr. Tran, could you share that story with us, and then I'd like to discuss my theory on it.
You know, I have used Vital Force formula in Dr. Kent mainly, and I have no thing to base my dose on the use of these products on animals, except from talking to Constance and Jeff Marungale. My results are very spectacular. When I use in connection with product that I've been using for the last 5 years in animal, at my animal immersion center, and that's Tahitian Noni juice, I found out that the combination of Tahitian Noni juice and these formulas are very potent to fix a multitude of disease conditions. And of course, I have been introduced to this product only a few months, but so far I have amazing results from the use of this product in serious life-threatening situation that I was able to reverse in sometime in a matter of a few hours.
I think the dog had a concussion and had a closed head injury and wound up in a comatose state.
Since then, I have many cases like that, you know, where an animal in comatose state that I was able to bring out of coma in 2-3 hours, you know, after I use a product. Sometimes I have to, because the animal cannot swallow, we have to use stomach tubing to give the product straight in the stomach.
So in that case, you actually did an intubation, delivered it, you know, not through an oral route.
Well, mainly in animal, I use oral route. And then lately, I asked Constant to see if in cases like that, we could use in an IV form, and they infuse energy for me in saline solution, and I've been using that also.
So here's the 2 points I wanted to make out of this, some of these really amazing things that, you know, we don't see because we have ambulatory practices. But we have severe closed head injuries in animals. And they're saying, what happens when we put this energy in, when we use stress relief formula and clear mind, and, you know, wakes up a comatose head trauma? What is happening there? Because we know we have physiologic brain swelling. We have edema. We have the neuroelectrical effect to the brain. What we're dealing with the subtle energy product, are the 85% of the material between the smallest particles of matter that we know of. What keeps quarks so far apart from each other, maybe, you know, thousandths of a millimeter instead of 2/1000ths of a millimeter, is where subtle energy works. Why does it work in our physiology? Because in that kind of trauma, there's extreme disorganization energetically in that area, at the trauma site and over the entire brain. If we're putting something in, an energy in, that reorganizes the space and affects the 85% between the material, the molecular body, and submolecular body, then the molecules follow the energy. Is everybody with that? It's a concept that we have to own ourselves to understand using this. And then how we communicate that to a lay person or someone else is going to be a different thing. But what we're really influencing with any of these products is the energy between the smallest parts. And that it comprises the largest amount of any matter, including ourselves, including grass and grass seeds and dogs and cats. Why then, if we're influencing that, is dosage specific? Because the greater the need for organizational energy, the higher the dosage has to be, and maybe the more frequent the dosage has to be. So this morning, I had a Parkinson's case in here, and we dosed him with indium energy, and I gave him 10 drops of standard dosage, and I repeated the HRV and saw what happened and how he felt, and retested him with the AV, and I didn't get quite enough, so I gave him another 20 drops, okay? This gentleman could not walk appropriately. And kiddingly, I said to him, well, after he had a good HRV the second time, and really, you know, had a nice autonomic nervous system response, and his sympathetic and parasympathetic systems were balanced, and he was very close to a normal level. And this isn't the first time I've seen him. I've been working with this guy for a long time. He had a heavy metal toxicity and a formaldehyde chemical toxicity that we had to deal with. But he's been constantly on one or more of the subtle energy formulas to provide the energy to his system to deal with the excretion response and his excretion capability. So we did the second dosage, which would be, you know, 1.5 times a daily dose, and got this strong response. He needed a lot of energy. And he couldn't hardly walk. One of my nurses would always walk with him so that he wouldn't totter into something or fall or whatever. I said, all right, do 10 jumping jacks for me. You know, kiddingly. And he didn't do a jumping jack, but he jumped a little bit in the air. He hadn't jumped for years. I mean, he couldn't get both feet off the ground because he had no balance. I'm like, you got to be kidding. Before he left, I mean, his wife was laughing. This is a Mennonite guy. Older gentleman, you know, in his 60s. And he says, I feel like he can just jump in the air. And he walked that much better. Now, if I would have underdosed him, it might have taken a month for that to happen. It might have taken 2 weeks for him to be able to walk better. But I kept dosing him until I got not only an autonomic nervous system response, but an observable physiological response. The more we use these things, the more we become confident that the dosages can go higher and higher, especially on the front end when the person needs a dramatic amount of energy.
What was your parameters on heart rate that made you feel comfortable with this dose?
Well, he was down-regulated parasympathetically by, let's say, 3 units for the people that have seen a little bit on heart rate. And he was slightly in the lower left quadrant. Sympathetically, he was -1. When I gave him the first dose, he moved to only on level with sympathetic and -2 parasympathetically. So he moved about halfway toward the center. When I gave him the second dose, he was on average level sympathetically and downregulated 1 parasympathetically. And then when he stood up, he only upregulated straight up 1 sympathetic unit, which means he had a perfect normal nervous system response to standing up. He was only 1 unit to the left of dead center autonomically. It was an incredible move. And his rates and rhythms stayed very similar from one to the other. That's what we see with heart rate. Say a person's heart rate is 60 laying down and 70 standing up. It can be 61 on a repeat and 68, which is clinically insignificant, a beat or two different from both positions. But all the factors of autonomic control and the total power and the high frequency and low frequency waves from the brain to the myocardium will change. And the autonomic regulation will change without the rate and rhythm of the heart changing. Which means you've totally affected the autonomic nervous system. You haven't moved the heart rate a whole lot. What you've moved is the energy system and the brain's control of the heart rate. Okay, you guys got that one?
Yep. As well as the CHMV score.
What's that?
CHMV score.
Oh, is chronotrophic myocardial response?
Uh-huh.
It was like in low 70s, and then it dropped to like 68. Oh. But the more important one was the vascular compensation. Because that indicates how rapidly the brain readjusts your blood vessels to the standing position. And that's an important parameter in chronic fatigue. I'm gonna transition into chronic fatigue off of this, okay? And explain some things we're seeing in chronic fatigue. So we're just gonna try and transition to that. This vascular compensation mechanism is when you stand up, your blood vessels should constrict to maintain appropriate blood pressure throughout the whole body. If there's a great disparity between the myocardial response and the vascular compensation response, then we know that something neurologically is disturbing the baroreceptors or chemoreceptors, and the brain is being blocked from the normal transmission of that information, either into the brain to have a reaction or from the brain out to the blood vessels to cause the constriction. The more common thing you're going to see, and may be going unobserved in almost all of our practices, because I've seen it and I've picked it up occasionally over the years, but now that I'm looking for it, I see it more and more and more, is that clients that have chronic fatigue and have chronic gastrointestinal problems have a vagal nerve disturbance that leads to postural hypertension or hypotension and postural tachycardia, orthostatic tachycardia. When the person stands up, if the heart rate goes up extremely and there's a strong sympathetic response and a downregulation of the parasympathetic system, you will have a corresponding drop in blood pressure. And if you take a standing blood pressure on most of these people that are chronic fatigued, you lay them down and you stand them up, you're going to see a standing blood pressure usually under 100 over 60. Now, everyone thinks, oh, that's a great blood pressure. It's horrible. It's not a normal blood pressure. They are much more symptomatic. They get gastrointestinal problems because of stasis. They get dizziness. They get the heart rate jumps usually from maybe the 60s or 70s up to 90 to 100. It means whenever they're standing up, their heart's working like crazy because their blood vessels are not compensating and they're wide open. And the heart's working that hard just to pump blood around through a vascular system and wears them out. If you talk to most of your chronic fatigue people, if they could lay down all day, they'd be happy. They could roll around on litters, you know?
What formulas are you finding to help that?
Well, I'm seeing, and I wish you guys would look for this, I am seeing in the majority of cases that there is a long-standing underlying streptococcus-neurotoxin relationship, that there is a history of chronic strep infections, either ear, sinus, throat, gastrointestinal, bronchitis, you name it. The byproducts of streptococcus are extremely neurotoxic and neuroparalytic, I would say. They really block the nervous system control. So I always look for strep, staph strep in these guys. What we use to stabilize the blood pressure in the subtle energies, what we use are almost always stress relief or foundation or the combination of those, and now the indium, because the indium is a re-regulator for the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland. And that's just a new thing that we've been working with, and some of you know about it, some of you don't. But they need that energy re-regulation. The foundation is more for cellular exchange of ions and information. The stress relief, of course, works a very broad spectrum across the nervous system to help with re-regulation.
Would the tranquility be for more of a chronic respect in the reference to stress relief? In other words, an older patient or someone who's had a problem much longer?
Yes. And, of course, very often one of the three immune systems, acute immune system, or thymus. And that's going to bring us back around to the combination concept. If this person has neurological disturbance, an incompetent or anergic immune system, if it is anergic, then what do we need to do? The answer to that is to first put in energy.
Right.
Okay. Before we do drainage, before we do nosotherapy, before we do isotherapy, nutrition, or anything else, we must have the energy to utilize all this stuff.
Right.
Jeff, you mentioned about thymus formula. In older animal, when the thymus gland is all atrophied, do you still use thymus?
Yes, absolutely. And you do get a thymic response. That's what's really amazing. Because the body recognizes the energy of that gland. It recognizes and utilizes elsewhere in the immune system the energy. And where I was at before I digressed onto the talking about the anergic response to a microorganism, that the thymus or acute immune or immune formulas will provide energy for, is that we can use three or four of the solutions at the same time. If that's what the body needs, if that's what that person needs, if they need nervous system energy and immune system energy and cellular energy, then use it all and give them plenty of it.
Could you mix them together all in one glass of water, for instance?
You know, we've seen with the blends, because we've done blends, they do, unlike homeopathy or complex homeopathy or whatever, one doesn't affect the other. They can be blended together. If it is a chronic case, I will use small doses of all of those very frequently. Now, this gentleman, I had him doing 5 drops every 2 hours, you know, which is going to give him 6 to 8 doses a day.
Is that back to your Parkinson's?
The Parkinson's guy. For someone with a chronic fatigue, postural hypotonia, etc., if they need acute immune support, stress relief, thymus and foundation, I'll give them 3 drops of each one, maybe 3-4 times a day. They are more synergistic. The more formulas you use, the more synergistic response you get with the energies.
So each remedy a specific energy pattern?
Yes, they are. Oh, absolutely.
So it's not multiple patterns in a remedy, so like stress relief, it is a single pattern?
I can answer that. Yes, it is a single pattern. There are a few of the remedies that are multiple, but that's what makes them what they are. Anybody is interested in knowing which ones have the multiples in it, I'll be happy to let you know after the call.
So using old technology, like if you were just using a electromagnetic field, like a Rife technology with specific frequency or specific condition, then what you would have, like with the strep, is like 770 hertz frequency rate, but then staff would maybe 880. And if you combine the two frequencies together, because they're so uniquely different in wave pattern, you can still use them in the same therapy.
Absolutely.
So is this a similar kind of phenomena?
Yes, absolutely correct.
Relying on Jeff's experience, I also use a combination of anywhere from 2 to 4 formulas in addressing animal severe conditions, and I have very good success with that.
Well, how many of you have used multiple formulas on the same patient? I mean, over 3.
Chronic fatigue and the very debilitated immune cancer patient.
Mm-hmm. When I first wrote some of the early information, I still believe in the first do no harm concept, which has really been lost in medicine today. It's first do something, you know, and make sure it's a big time intervention. So I wrote my instructions almost a year ago to be very conservative, and based on my clinical experience at that time, was saying, you know, most people will respond real favorably to 1 or 2. 3 is the most that I usually see somebody use at a similar time. My thoughts have changed pretty radically on that to saying, you know, in this particular instance, you can't get too much of a good thing because they affect so many different aspects of our energy system and restore flow to the yin and the yang in the body, whatever we want to call it. What I've found, and I'm going to share something that I found just in the last week or two in doing laser therapy and orthosonic high-frequency sound wave therapy, is that if you have congestion, inflammation, whatever, of a chakra area, let's just talk about energy now, which all correspond to our major nerve plexuses in the body. So if you want to go physiologic, okay, it's that nerve plexus. If you want to go Chinese model, it's the chakra, you know, energy centers. Whatever we want to call them, here's what I observed and here's what we've all observed. If one is hyperergic, dealing with an issue, whether it's physical, psychological, emotional, whatever, then another one is balancing it by being hypoergic, by having low energy. If one has a lot of energy, one has low energy, because it's a closed energetic system. Are we in agreement on this? Have you seen this, what I'm saying here? We can give a remedy that influences the thymus and have a very positive result at the prostate genital area in the base chakra. Or we can give something that affects, like stress relief or indium, that affects pituitary hypothalamus and have a tremendous relief to where we would normally use golden warmer for the gastrointestinal organs. We may give both together. What I've been doing with laser therapy and high-frequency sound therapy is following the flow of rotation of all those energy centers from the right side of the head and brain down the right side of the body to the inguinal area, making a U-turn at the pubic area, coming up the left side, inguinal, up over the spleen, left side of the heart, and back up around, like just like a racetrack, like an oval racetrack over the body. And, of course, I can, with the high-frequency sound wave, I get a feedback from that, which I don't want to get into explaining that technology. I just want to tell you that, say we hit over the gallbladder, and I find that there's an extreme amount of oxidative stress there, and there's a lot of feedback from the high-frequency sound wave the first time around. And that may also reflect on the spleen when I come up the left side. And then when I come around the forehead, it will be over the right and left side of the brain at the glabella or at the center, right at the center of the forehead, over the glabella, over the pituitary point, and up over the governing vessel at the top of the skull. When I make a second lap doing one of the energy therapies, it will move along that track somewhere and disperse. And by the third lap that we make around there, balancing that energy, there'll be homogeneous energy flow. Now, we can access that. You can go back from this call and start checking down along that area. If you're doing muscle tests and you have them contact right forehead, right cheek, the right side of the throat, subclavicular, right under the right breast, over the liver gallbladder, at the inguinal area, you're going to find a blockage there that's going to make them go weak on ART or with a kinesiology test. And follow the circuit. And then see which of the energy formulas you need to put in circuit. So maybe they need 5 drops of stress relief for their head, but they need 20 drops of golden warmer for the gastrointestinal organs. And this concept is going to really open some doors for you because it holds the correction. It holds the nutritional correction, the antitoxin correction. It holds the isode correction or the drainage correction because now the flow of energy through all the meridians and all the chakras has been balanced and recirculated. It's a really incredible concept, and I'd like to see from you guys who practice this a lot can grasp that concept if you see the same thing when you get back and start looking at things this way. Is that valuable?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, is that helpful in the utilization of the subtle energies? Because each one is to influence one of these or more of these energy areas. And it helps you with dosage, it helps you with reorganization of energy in the body, and if we truly believe and understand in energy medicine, then providing the energy and then reorganizing it by physical methods, whatever tools we use, in a consistent way, is going to give us consistent results from practitioner to practitioner, and we're going to see more miracles. Because we're all on this call because we're out on the edge already. We're all here because we didn't pull over and park intellectually. In our practice, in our thought processes. That's what's important. This is like a little mastermind group because we're creative, we're inquisitive, we don't take things at face value. I don't want you to take anything I say at face value. Your thoughts are just as valuable, if not more valuable, than mine. We just want to see, do we observe the same thing?
Oh, what's interesting, Jeff, we've been doing for a while, too, is just using a unipolar magnet, you know, north and south pole. And just checking down the main chakra points like that and finding which one responds to north, which one weakens. If it's north pole, you treat with south. And of course, I'm using a magnetic field by Ludwig that actually does this with color therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of similar to what you're doing. That's how I'm finding what points to test the subtle energies and actually nutrition and homeopathy and everything.
It's interesting, Bob, because what happens so often with those of us who do this kind of work is we arrive at the same conclusions from different methods or different angles.
Yes, when I use the magnet, either north or south pole, it takes out the idea of thought process and muscle testing.
Right.
In other words, I'm picking up whether the north pole would be a hypoactive area and south pole would be overactive. It's true with the opposite pole. And, of course, I use the color therapy unit that Ludwig has or
right.
the medicine,
mm-hmm.
the super. And it's just been phenomenal. That with the laser and then the products, instead of testing the natural EAV points or going through all the alarm points in acupuncture, it's so quick, it's so much quicker.
That's a good point. That's great.
Yep.
What are the rest of you seeing here? I want to hear some feedback on what are you experiencing utilizing these products.
Dr. Wasso?
This kid on the block, this is Dr. Davis. I've been quite impressed with the immediate effect, particularly like with the insomniacs and those that are having the stress relief was one of the first one I started using, and now I'm up to, I guess, I don't know, 14, 15 different remedies. What's been very interesting is that this whole thing of the loss of energy, it's an energetic phenomenon, it's not a biochemical phenomenon, of course the biochemistry has failed, but it's a different phenomenon with these chronic fatigue fibromyalgia patients, as well as those that have succumbed to cancer for whatever reason. And the phenomena there is that in the persistent quest for energy, I mean, that's what the patients are always looking for. That's their first symptom, that's their constant chronic symptom. And then they'll disappear as a patient when their energies come up, whichever way we happen to connect it. And what I'm finding very, very fascinating is that I started doing something this in the last week where I'm using some of the Revive in the morning with these chronic fatiguers, and we try to match their circadian rhythms and trying to retrack them.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're finding is a little better bump in their blood pressure regulation as far as when they stand up, and that hypotension phenomena, dizzy, disorientation, everything feels sluggish, they lose energy quickly. Is that we're finding is that approaching a chronic adrenal failure phenomena with the energetics of Revive and even Rejuvenation, start using that, combining those two together on some of these real difficult cases. and have started to see some real dramatic change in them. So I don't have enough numbers yet to be real authoritative, but at the point I'm encouraged with what I see.
Well, you know, we all have trouble with those cases. You're obviously seeing that hypotonia phenomenon.
Always.
I mean, it's always there. So anything that we can do that will correct that, that is in and of itself a component, the hugest component of the disease state. And I don't think they can be stable or even have enough energy to get well until that mechanism is restored in the body.
Exactly right. I'm with you 100%.
You know, I've seen all of Paul Chaney's PVO2 studies and PCO2 and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they observe physiologically the phenomenon, but the corrections don't occur because they're not getting down to that root, which is the brain's control of the vascular system and the hypotonia and the vagal influence, et cetera.
Well, exactly right. And also what they do is what they always do is they go after trying to stimulate synthetic remedy in an attempt to jack up the already failed adrenal pituitary hypothalamus axis.
Exactly.
And they get a bump for about 2 weeks that they feel terrific, but then they all crash, and it's worse than when we started.
I always tell them they're whipping the horse that pulls the wagon.
Well, that's exactly right.
You know?
Well, that's exactly right. And if we can figure out how to get that rhythm up so that they are sympathetically toned during the day and then parasympathetically re-regulated at night, they'll do a lot better.
One thing I've noticed, too, is that by using these vital energy products, is that I use a lot less homeopathy now than I used to. Have you guys seen that, too?
I've seen the dosages go down, even in using nutritional or homeopathy or whatever. The dosages go down as you enter and support the energy.
Correct. So I'm finding also, I've actually blended some homeopathies with the specifics of the subtle energy, and have actually found that that makes a quicker response just in the acute phase.
Yeah. The most powerful thing to try, too, guys, see what you think about this, is to use the patient's own body fluids, you know, saliva, urine, which is the most convenient one, invert them through a wavefront and put it into a drainage remedy or just whatever remedy, even infuse them into some of the subtle energy products. And like Jeff was talking earlier about the strep situation.
In animals, this works incredibly because we'll take a hair and a saliva, you know, and I've done it with my horses. Unbelievable. Because all their DNA is in their hair,
yeah.
You know, just as in ours, and all their chronic toxicity and all their acute stuff is going to be in saliva, pretty much so. And I'll put a remedy together and then invert it using that device and put it back into them from afar. I mean, they sent me samples down from my farm upstate, and I fixed my horses upstate, and boom, they get better. And the animals really respond to energy, to these subtle energies.
I concur with you 100% because I found out that these energy formulas work very well in neurological disorders, seizure problem and severe head trauma from accident. I also like to use them in severe trauma, animal run over by car, a gunshot wound, and severe infection situation, severe contamination. It works so well and so fast. That's what I like about them.
Well, the amazing thing about animals is they auto-regulate so much more rapidly than we do. Because they have a much stronger survival mechanism, I think, and they don't have the extraneous stuff. What's that?
Ours is just worn out from doing too. We got survival every moment in America.
Exactly.
That emergency energy is completely gone.
Yes. Where that's not so in critters. We keep ourselves so near to the edge of stress, blown out all the time, that what we've been seeing more and more over the years is people have an overwhelming stressor and they never go back to being the way they were.
Exactly right.
In connection with this, I like the stress relief real well because it keeps the cats and the nasty and mean dog under control very quickly. After about the first or second dose, we can work with them very easily.
Guys, our time is coming rapidly to a close, and know that there was a question, at least from some of you, as to what do you tell your patients and what this stuff is and how it works?
What's the right answer?
The A answer? We discuss this, I can't tell you how often, among ourselves. Do we hide this under a bushel and just say, here, take this? do we try to explain the string theory of physics to, you know, somebody with an eighth grade education? Do we maybe offend someone's religious sensitivities by saying, oh, it helps your ki, you know? We have kicked and bannered this around so often, and I think it's going to come back to our earlier explanation that we started with, is that we have discovered by the use of very high-tech physics a way to influence the organizing energy between our cells, between our molecules, and that by helping that energy, that it's the major glue factory that holds us together, we can positively influence the body's physical response. Whatever works for you guys, I'd love to hear it. Constance and Yuri would love to hear it.
How do you respond when they look at a remedy and it's all the same, and yet the label's different?
I call the formula energy medicine or vibrational medicine. I don't have any problem with my client accepting that.
Right.
I don't have problems either. I just tell them that they're high-powered homeopathics. And
yeah, also mentioned that it's a form of homeopathic substance also.
What I did is I shared this with Constance the other day. In my practice, what I've done is that most of our patients now are becoming those that glom on to us alternative guys, is that they are somewhat familiar with homeopathics and they are somewhat familiar with isopathics. And so realizing that this is that subtle energy and that quantum physics thing, I just called it a quantum pathic. It's just a new generation, new technology.
Is there any questions that they would like to put on the table or observations?
One quick thing, patient compliance, if there's multiple formulas with multiple dosages, how have you found that working?
At that point, if you're doing four things or something, blend them.
Yeah.
I just blend them and give them to them. Obviously, what Gary's seen and what some of the other ones of us have seen, I mean, I pulled the calf around, Gary, the same way by just actually infusing it, doing rectal infusion and oral infusion with intubating down the throat and doing rectal infusion with, with what do you want to call it, whatever those things are, you give the little enema bag, okay? And you just have to get the energy in the body.
Right.
You just have to get it into the unit. So it doesn't matter. We've done kids with G-tubes. We've done adults. If you're seeing intense cancer patients, some of them may not be able to have oral nutrition or anything, and they already have a G-tube going in. You can put it right in there. As long as it gets in the body, it doesn't matter. The rules aren't there with energy medicine, with these energetics, like there are with homeopathy, where it's got to have the brain stimulation, the sublingual. It just has to be inside the unit somewhere by whatever method. So combining it, whatever works, it all works.
Mm-hmm.
It all works.
Can we use these drops in food?
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Put it in juice, water.
But it's very easy to dose animals. You just drop in their food, you know, if they're
sure.
Eating. You know.
Yeah.
But in my case, most of the time I use the product in Tahitian noni juice, so I have no problem at all.
Yeah.
I just draw the...
I use whatever carrier you want to use with it. And it really doesn't... Someone I had mentioned earlier about using it with homeopathic and potentiating homeopathic formulas. It does not disturb the effect of homeopathics.
Right.
That has not been my observation in any way. I mean, you can put them in together in the same water. It does not change the homeopathic resonant frequency.
Right.
Has everybody else had that same experience?
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. They're different animals. They're definitely different animals.
They're very stable.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so great talking with this core group, and, you know, we welcome your feedback.
Shall we try doing this again?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be bad monthly to get together.
Yeah. I like to, since we pioneered the use of this product, we need to share experience. In fact, my work was made very easy by Jeff's insight in his work, you know, and gave me his experience.
All right, gentlemen. Well, I really appreciate your time. Thank you for your insight, and we'll talk soon.
Okay.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.